Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So yesterday I was telling my mom about the introduction for today's sermon, and she said, "Anna, you might need to preface it by telling everyone that you're kind of a Bible and theology nerd." And I said, "I'm pretty sure they already know that, Mother." And she said, "Well, they may not know just how much of one you are." So there you go. That might be true, but after today's introduction story, I think you might have an even better idea. So once upon a time, my first time in seminary in Chicago, my friends threw me a 25th birthday party with two themes. Fall, because I love fall. I've always thought I was so smart to have been born in my favorite month, October. And the other theme was theology, which I also love so much, and that's what my first seminary degree is in. So my two favorite parts of this party were when everyone took turns sharing a special memory about me. I found it so incredibly special, and it convinced me that, Anna, don't wait to tell people that you love them or share special memories or things about them with them until they're gone. Do it now while they can still hear these beautiful words of love and reminiscing. My second favorite part of this theology-themed party was the game of charades. Now, this is where the biblical and theological nerd part comes in, because everyone in the room submitted biblical names to be acted out or theological concepts to be acted out. And it was really a lot of fun, but even more than that, it was really, really funny. I can still hear the laughter. We acted out characters like Mary, the mother of Jesus, by pretending we were pregnant and we were bouncing along on a donkey, and the character of Moses holding up his staff and trying to wade through the Red Sea. But then some smart aleck submitted the theological concept ex nihilo, which is the fancy way of saying that God created everything out of nothing. And how in the world are you supposed to even go about acting that out? It was really fun, and it is a great memory. And I share it this morning because one of the ways that All Saints' Day can be celebrated is by playing charades. Have any of you ever done this before? Where you take turns acting out or describing different saints while the group guesses? Anybody? Just me? Okay. Well, I thought for you today, I'm going to act out two saints, and you go ahead and holler out the guess if you know who it is. Okay. So I'm somebody, and I've got a bird on my... Oh my gosh, good job, Norris. Okay, this is a more modern day saint. So I'm taking off my cardigan. I'm going to hang it in the closet. And put my, yes, Mr. Rogers. I didn't even have to sit down and take my shoes off to put my tennis shoes on. So you act out and describe different saints. Well, today is All Saints Sunday, my favorite Sunday in the whole year. All Saints Sunday, or All Saints Day, is November 1st. And we celebrate this Feast of All Saints usually on the Sunday after, which is the first Sunday always in November. Now remember, the church calendar is different than our regular calendar because we have a different story to tell. And All Saints Day is part of a three-day celebration called All Hallowtide, H-A-L-L-O-W, All Hallowtide. The Feast of All Hallows begins on October 31st, and it lasts for 3 days. All Saints Day, November 1st, and then following up with All Souls Day on November 2nd. Nowadays, these 3 days sort of get lumped into one, All Saints Day or All Saints Sunday, but here's an interesting bit of knowledge. All Hallowtide, or the Feast of All Hallows, comes from the archaic word hollow, which means saint or holy person. So All Saints Day, All Hallows Day. When someone has been made holy by God, which happens in the waters of baptism, they become a saint. Some saints are capital S saints, and some saints, like most of us, are lowercase s saints. But it's someone who has been made holy by God. Now, the only place we really use this word outside of Halloween is when we say the Lord's Prayer. And we say to God, "Hallowed be your name. Holy is your name." And so if you think about the word Halloween, hallow means saints, and een is a contraction of evening, or it's an old-fashioned way of saying evening. It's the Hallows, All Hallows Eve, All Saints Eve. And for centuries, it has been celebrated as an early anticipation of the day that follows, much like what we do with Christmas Eve, right? Christmas Eve already begins the celebration of Christmas. And so that's where the word Halloween comes from. It's the Eve of All Saints, as we prepare the next day to celebrate all of the faithful departed. So these 3 days in the church calendar are really meant for us to consider how we're preparing for our future in the church triumphant, how we are preparing for our future when we will gather with all the saints around the throne of God. It's also intended for us to sort of ask ourselves about our own mortality, and are we ready if we were to die tomorrow? Because none of us is promised another day. Are we ready to die? Are we ready for our life to be over? And then on All Saints Day, we celebrate those who have gone to be with Jesus already, those who have been raised to newness of life. These 3 days, as we celebrate those who have gone on before us, and as we remember our own death, we're given a lot to think about. I want to leave you with these words in a poem called The Facts of Life by Padraig O Tuama. Facts of life: that you were born and will die, that you will sometimes love enough and sometimes not, that you will lie if only to yourself, that you will get tired, that you will learn most from the situations you did not choose, that there will be some things that move you more than you can say, that you will live that you must be loved, that you will avoid questions most urgently in need of your attention, that life isn't fair, that life is sometimes good and sometimes better than good, that life is often not so good, that life is real, and if you can survive it, well, survive it well with love and art and meaning given where meaning's scarce. That you will learn to live with regret, that you will learn to live with respect, that the structures that constrict you may not be permanently constraining, that you will probably be okay, that you must accept change before you die, but you will die anyway. So you might as well live, and you might as well love. You might as well love. You might as well love. I don't know if any of you saw this question going around on social media this week, but it said, the Reformation question is no longer, where will you spend eternity? But rather, since you are saved by grace, will you live differently? Right? We don't fear the question, where will you spend eternity? Because in the waters of baptism, God has already given us the gift of eternal life. For us, eternal life isn't some prize or reward given at the end of a life well lived. It's not something that we strive for. Eternal life was already given to us when we were baptized, and we've been living in that eternal life ever since. As Lutherans, we don't believe that our eternal life begins the moment we die. We believe it begins the moment we are baptized. And so the question is, since we are already saved by God's grace, since we are already living out our eternal life, will you live differently? How will you live differently? Will you live in such a way that God's kingdom come and God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in and through you? Well, Jesus offers us a glimpse of what this looks like in today's gospel lesson. In Matthew, as he's launching his public ministry, in the Sermon on the Mount, he declares that the reign of heaven has come near. And with the Beatitudes, he tells us what the reign of heaven will be about. Both the ancient world and in our world today, religion can be concerned with this divine blessing. Are we going to get it? And how are we going to get it? And what do I need to do in order to deserve it? But in a way that is unsurprisingly surprising, Jesus offers us a counterintuitive understanding of this blessedness. We look at the world around us and we might think, blessed are the rich, blessed are the happy, blessed are the strong, blessed are the satisfied, blessed are the ruthless, blessed are the deceptive, blessed are the well-liked. But Jesus says no. Jesus says that the truly blessed are the poor, the mourning, the gentle, the hungry, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted, the reviled. And as Jesus is offering these words of consolation and assurance then and now, he's making it very clear that God's reign of heaven turns the world upside down. And this world-turning reign is already at hand. Because in this reign of turning the world upside down that you have been raised to in your baptism, and not only have you been raised to this world-turning reign, you are invited and called to live it out in your very own lives. We are called to follow Jesus by living lives that do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with God. And we are called to this new way of living not in order to acquire eternity, because we've already received it. This reign of heaven isn't something that we will live in someday. The truth is, we're living in it now, and it makes claim upon our lives now. Jesus has brought it near to us. And now we get to spend our lives bringing it near to others. So on this All Saints Sunday, as we remember our loved ones, and as we remember our own death, we might as well love. We might as well love. And may we do so by following Jesus, by living lives that do justice, by living lives that love mercy, and by living lives that walk humbly with God. May it be so. Amen.